Back again, episode 25. Quiet and triumphant returns. Oh, listeners. We took that as quite the victory. We stayed at the tavern, beds paid for by this Layard, and maybe Kalia and Haas stayed up in shifts just in case it was a betrayal, but we rode off the next morning whole, with a future we were gunning towards and the clearest path we'd seen in ages to its end. We broke off into two groups, three people each, to make our return back, but it wasn't even a question of who, of how. Leander didn't leave my side. Kalia looked to me and said, "Stay." This time, her leading us home wasn't an interrogation or a warning, every step uncertain and every step a miscommunication. This time, we knew each other. This time, we loved each other. A little bit. Maybe. The Fretton welcomed us back. Rhea and Iolo and Hast, the triumphant first ones in, and by the time we'd made it to the center of camp, that muddy central field from that first day, that one I'd balked at, it felt like coming home. Nat peered through a sea of faces and stuck out her tongue at me when I caught her gaze, new wildflower crowns skewed across her forehead. Hast pulled Kalia into one of those true, deep, hold-on-for-life hugs, Kalia's chin in her hands. Leander knocked shoulders with me as we were herded around to disperse the news, and Kalia was almost humming with a frantic sort of energy that was just barely containable in its excitement. First steps. The rest of the day passed in a blur. Good news and running around in a power nap, tangled up with Leander in our tent for all of half an hour before Kalia was outside and tapping her foot, still things to be done. This was what all of her years had been working towards, a chance. A chance like this. I doubted she'd sleep for days. The sun was setting and the world was rose gold and perfect. That was enough to sustain her. At dinner, Nat grabbed my wrist. "Bring your poeta, et capitan," she said, breathless, something twinkling in her eyes. I think she forgot, but I've known her just long enough to annoy the breath out of her, just for today. "What is it?" I asked, heart leaping. Nat hummed. "Her birthday. It's time to wish her many happy returns." That was enough to get me moving, scrambling to my feet and whipping my head around to find Kalia across the circle. Her eyes were already locked onto me, a frown pulling at her brow. She stalked over, hands reaching automatically one at a time across her shoulders to check for swords, then the knives at her hips, then a quick tap of one ankle against the other for the small blade in her left boot. I met her halfway. Less than halfway, gods, she was walking fast. And before I could get anything out, she hissed, "What went wrong?" It took me a minute to sort what she meant. "What?" "Natolia, speaking with you, is something wrong? Is there a problem, a fight, an attack, a..." I laughed, which she didn't seem to find very endearing. "Take a breath, all is well. There's just..." I paused. "Well." "Yes. There is a small problem Nat wants you to sort out." Before I could say anything more, she was already sweeping past me, grabbing at my wrist and pulling me along to solve the nebulous it. And even though I did not quite know where we were going, Kalia had a nose for catching out danger, and the scheme of gnats was maybe 40% trouble, which was close enough. We rounded the corner. There was the bonfire. There was Nat and Hast and all of Kalia's best friends. There was Leander, tentative, and Rhea and Iolo, gifts in hand. Iolo somehow had found honey cakes. Kalia let out a breath like a hiss. Elias, she said, and it sounded like how she'd called me Elihidida back at the beginning of us. What is this? Nat Sensilius was unfazed. Many happy returns, she called. Before Kalia could protest, she was across the clearing and dunking a flower crown onto Kalia's head, all crooked fritz floors and glowing night blossoms. It was a halo. It was a crown. She was my friend, and she was a king against the firelight, and it was suddenly very silly that I was staring and Kalia was holding my wrist. She dropped my hand, and Nat batted Kalia's away as she reached up to try and mess with it. Nuh-uh, Natalia trilled. Birthday crown. You don't get to argue. Like a miracle, Kalia didn't. Very carefully, she said, it's sliding. And it was. Nat said, you're forbidden from touching it. Make Elias help you. And I was foolish. I knew so little about her, but there was something between us, something that had snapped into place the first time we'd met. That was the foundation, but stacked on top of it was every time we'd ever spoken in the day. She first called me Elias, and our sunrises, the Roreala, and the way she looked at other people and loved. I was foolish, so I reached up and centered her crown. Her eyes locked onto mine for a second too long. Gold on blue on gold. Well, she said, will you not wish me many happy returns? Carefully, I looked her in the eye. Carefully, I wished her many happy returns. Here's the truth of it. Here is the truth of it, listeners. I miss her. I do. I miss her more than I can say. I try not to tell you lies, dear listener, so I will tell you this. I loved her by the end. Of course I did. I don't know if we were faded or if we'd just breathed the same air for too long and that had ruined us, made a part of her me and a part of me her, but I've been back too long now and I'm breathing her out and I'm breathing her out and I'm breathing her out and I don't know if this version of my body ever knew her anyways. I try not to tell you lies, but it is too hard to lie about my own timeline for more than a second. I'll stumble if I don't, and if I'm being honest, it is getting hard enough to hold all of this in my head these days. Slipping through the cracks, water through the gaps in my fingers and spilling all the way down my front. I've let too much of her go. I've breathed out too much of Rhizea. I'm losing it. don't know if this version of my body ever knew it at all. I just want to dream of it again. I just want to dream of her again. It's been too long since I've seen her face, even if only in the recollection of a recollection. There are a handful of memories I am wearing increasingly thin in my brain, dear listeners, rubbing my fingers over like prayer beads. This is what Rhizea was like, and this, and this, and this, this is what love was like, and this, and this, and this, this is one of those nights, and the problem, of course, with too much recollection is that it becomes a memory of a memory. You remember yourself remembering this memory before, lying in the same damn bed with the same damn scraps of paper or mobile above your head, the same damn timer counting down when you have to get back up for work and it's 4 hours too late to get 8 hours of sleep. But it doesn't quite matter, because you are running thin a memory of a night. Recollection of a recollection of a recollection. I've distilled Kalia's birthday party down with time. She turned 18 so late, late that fall, really, that anyone with sense would call it winter. And I remember her face in the firelight that night, and I remember the way that the party divulged into chaos, and I remember somehow there was triumph, and somehow we were all a little drunk and hassed, and Kalia took turns leaping over the bonfire like fools, like brash and stupid kids, like heroes from a story incapable of ever getting hurt. I remember them shoving at each other and hassed wrestling Kalia to the dirt, both of them laughing so hard they could hardly breathe as they psyched each other out and lodged kicks toward the other from handstands, from spinning turns. And I remember Nats, Kalia, your crown, and I remember Leander playing some stupid little song, a joke, because even though they didn't drink, they'd picked up that same sort of energy the rest of us now had. We'll rise up the mountains and conquer the dawn, they sang, but it rhymed in Rhizean. It's a cheap rhyme. I think Iolo booed, but we'd giggled it off and encouraged them to keep going. I do know how this will end, but I am not worried. I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. I remember finally eating the honey cakes. Thick, layered pastry seeped in honey and drizzled in not plum, not raspberry jam, and although I'd first eaten that jam with the prince, I did not think of him in that moment. I remember jam smudged on the corner of Iolo's mouth and Rhea wiping it off with her thumb and Leander kissing Kalia's forehead with a very solemn, many happy returns. I remember the promise of it all. We had won. We had won, and we would keep being okay. I am not worried, Leander had said, and they always had a little more prophecy than we'd given them credit for. I'm not. I am not. Life now looks like this. For the first time since I moved here, someone else was in my apartment last night. She is shorter than even me by no small margin, and pretty, and sits in front of me in my linguistics class. I've decided on linguistics, at least for now. That is new, too. Her handwriting is neat. She only writes in purple ink. She wears a leather jacket on the days that don't predict rain, few for this city. When prompted, she will tug at its sleeves and confess that it's a motorcycle jacket. She does not own a motorcycle. She has crashed the only car she ever tried to drive, and so doesn't try any longer. This isn't unusual for this city, I've learned, but it still strikes an odd chord in my mind. In Georgia, it is 28 minutes to the Walmart if you disregard the backroad warning signs that beg 30 miles an hour of you. In Rizea, you count travel time in days. She came to riding club. She asked me to coffee at one of the few shops that doesn't close by 3, which turned into dinner, which turned into me biting the bullet of discontent and fear and isolation that I have lived in for the last 2+ years as I invited her to mine. We both like Lord of the Rings. She can give you examples of word differences between Quenya and Sindarin. Maybe that's part of majoring in linguistics. She laughed when she walked in. Listeners, at my fucking micro studio of whimsy and memory and longing. She snatched at the scraps of Rhizaean dangling from the ceiling in my pathetic little mobiles. She spread them open and managed, by taking such meticulous note of the vowel arrangements, to make such a passable pronunciation of the words that I froze, 3 seconds from vomiting, heart nearly beating out of my chest. I'd examined her with frank hope, with terror, with preemptive disappointment. The way she stood, the way she dressed, the way she spoke. Did she drop articles in her sentences? Did she drift off while in lecture, close her eyes against the blue light of your computer screen, curve her handwriting to connect like Rizea's letters do? Just because I hadn't known her there wouldn't have made it impossible. Time moved differently there. There were countries beyond mine. I'm sure many of them took greater care about the linguistics and politics and cultures of their neighbors than self-centered Rizea did. That would have given her enough of a basis to make such a guess. Linguistic neighbors, linguistic similarities. Maybe it was the far shore. Maybe it was the plains. Maybe it was that little island, the one that wedged itself between Rizea and that great expanse of sea, the one with the 6-syllable name I always bungled and no one corrected me on enough to make it stick. Maybe. Maybe she was like me. Maybe she was like me. Then she'd flicked her head over her shoulder, hair flying up around her face. "Did I get them right?" she'd asked, the edges of a smile curling her face, and it was a sword through my stomach the second time. Linguistics majors. Of course. I think it showed on my face, but I mustered my courage and frantically banged my social battery against the floor. Yep, I'd tried. Just about right. It's a soft C, though. Don't Latinize it quite so hard. Is it a conlang? She sounded genuinely curious. I hadn't wanted to get caught in what sounded like a lie. Oh, no, it's the language of the country I grew up in. Not when that truth quickly dissolved into apparent fiction after one Google search, so I'd agreed. I told her about this project, in sparse details that I hoped made me sound embarrassed about being a writer, rather than embarrassed about dedicating my life to a 6-year, 6-minute dream. I generally mentioned Rizean as the language spoken there, though I didn't call it by its name because I couldn't break the habit of never ever saying Rizea and its derivatives in front of people just in case its secrecy was contingent on me ever getting home. I read out a few more sentences for her. she'd been intrigued. She'd pointed at my microphone. This one, yes, listeners, and let out another laugh. We watched Return of the King. She did the Elvish, perfectly accented along with the actors. I pretended that I knew what this was supposed to feel like. What friendships were supposed to be. What sapphic in-betweens, 15 dates that you call anything else just in case, looked like. It had been a long time. I was used to everything or nothing. I was used to hurting when I looked at an ex-lover with a kind of pain so hard it took the breath from my lungs and left me gasping. I was used to loving with my entire chest. Mostly, I just wanted to return to feeling like I was an extension of someone else. You know the one where she moved, I went. I matched my breath to hers when we slept. I stared at her hands, I memorized the lines at each joint. I could recite prayer like that. Even now, by thinking through the creases of Callia's fingers like rattling along prayer beads. Lord, let the world be better now that I am gone. God of portal magic, protect her, protect them. Saint of lost girls, let me look upon her face one last time so I can calculate the degree of her frown. I was not expecting to leave. I was not greedy enough when I stared at her face. I am not good at casual listeners, but I tried. It didn't matter. She sat next to me, shoulder brushing against mine, and all I could think about was how much I missed home. I don't know if it was trying to punish me for trying or reward me, but I did finally dream of them last night. Callia sat on the throne, Leander behind her, perched on the chair arm like that stupid fucking first portrait of Cassian and I. Leander had wildflowers in their hair. Callia had finally taken out those little braids, stopped pinning her hair back, and she looked like a lion. They were both laughing at me. I couldn't get to them. It was golden, and all was well. And somewhere, far behind, I could hear singing. I was warm. I was safe. And then I woke up. I had forgotten to pay my electric bill. My fingers were stiff with cold. The electric blanket that I rationed in place of baseboard heating provided no warmth, and my laptop was dead, which meant I couldn't even go online to beg Seattle Public Utilities to give me my light back. I fell back asleep. I didn't dream of my friends again.
Back Again is written and produced by me, Abigail Eliza. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or supporting Back Again on Patreon at patreon.com/backagainpodcast, where you'll gain access to bloopers, annotated transcripts, episode sneak peeks, and more. If you'd like to hear more about the show, visit us on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at Back Again Podcast, or on TikTok at Abigail Eliza Writes. Our outro music is Nightingales by Pierce Murphy from the album To Japan, and is licensed under an attribution license. The song was retrieved from freemusicarchive.org. Visit the description of this episode for full copyright information and a link to the page. Sound effect attribution, similarly, can be found in the episode description. If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that you do not have to fill your days with action and creation to be worthy of the space you take up. You were made already whole. The light-soaked days are coming. Promise. I hope you have a wonderful day.